Hello and welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm Astronomus Ray, the president of the board of directors at Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS, and the host of The Preservationists. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we're focusing on a place that stood quietly at the edge of downtown Astoria for more than 80 years, a concrete stronghold with deep roots in both national history and local life. The Astoria Armory was originally built in the 1940s, and over time, it's evolved into a beloved public space, hosting roller skating nights, community events, and countless memories for generations of Astorians. But like so many historic buildings, the armories faced decades of wear and tear. That is, until a determined group of citizens came together with a vision, not just to restore its walls, but to reimagine its future as a vibrant community hub. In this episode, we'll explore how the Astoria Armory is being revitalized, not just structure-wise, but socially and culturally. We'll hear from Susan Hobson, who has deeply been involved with the Astoria Armory transformation, and we'll talk about what it means to preserve a space that continues to bring people together. Whether it's concerts, community meetings, open skates, or quiet moments in a place that holds history, the Armory is once again opening its doors and inviting us in. Hello, Susan.
Hello, and thank you for having me today.
Yes, absolutely. I just wanted to start off by kind of getting to know you a little bit. So how long have you been involved with the Astoria Armory for?
I have been on the board of the Astoria Armory for about 3 years, and how I got here is kind of special. My daughter, Robin Kustik, was the executive director of the Armory for many years prior to its closing at COVID time. So she had a passion for all the things that happened, community, the events. So when the Armory got to start again, she said, "Mom, this one's for you." So with her in my back pocket, it enabled me to jump right in. And the beauty of this was I had no preconceived notion about what the Armory was supposed to be. So you just can't tell me no. So we jumped in and we started working as a board. We have a really amazing group of people, diverse from lawyers to just a regular father who loves to volunteer to business people that are vibrant in our community. So when you have that kind of folks behind you, you start synergizing, and we realized there was no place to go but up. The first thing we had to figure was how can we get some funds? Because that's always the tough part of being a nonprofit. So we worked together, started small, and we thought, we have to revitalize skate night because that gets people in. So we started small, and the first thing we did is we had hired employees, people that would invest and really be there for everyone. And it started to take off, and all of a sudden, we're having families come, not just Friday, but Saturday nights. And all of a sudden, it's their mainstay. They're coming week after week, and pretty soon, we have a vibrant skate night where people come together, kids are making friends. All of a sudden, it's exciting to be a part of skate night and to be a part of the Armory. That opened some other doors as well, because now, you know what? Parks and Recs is looking for a space to do pickleball. Okay, we can make that happen. Then there's volleyball and other community things. And all of a sudden, we're getting opportunities to look at grants and open the doors in a broader sense to folks that can't afford it or for things that are really important that the community needs to hear about. So that started our adventure.
Wow.
So when COVID happened, we were shut down for 2.5 years. We talked about the fact our building is very old, 80 plus years. You can imagine if an 80-year-old person sits down for 2.5 years, what's going to happen? So we needed to really start over and spruce things up and make it fresh and clean. So we started in just like they did years ago when the foundation, Friends of the Astoria Armory, took over the Armory. That was 11 years ago, just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And so it's been amazing. When they took it over, it had been abandoned for about 30 years. Few odds and ends, storage, that kind of thing, but wasn't anybody in there doing anything. But the pigeons were there. And so there was a lot of cleanup.
Yeah.
And there was a handful of folks, including our mayor, Sean Fitzpatrick, my daughter, Robin Kustik, and a couple of other wonderful folks that are no longer with us, that worked their fingers to the bone to get that place opened. And they were so enthusiastic and so sure it was going to work, they pre-sold tickets for a grand opening that included the roller derby.
Oh, nice.
So that was the kickoff. And they went great guns until COVID. Mm-hmm. And COVID changed the face of everywhere, including our fair town. So when that happened, we had to bring community back. We started with skate night. And from there, that jumped off into where we are today, where we have some amazing benefactors like Jeff Daly, who was on your show just a little while ago. They revamped the lights, the sound system. It was just amazing to see the happiness and the incredible patronage that happened once that wonderful old lady got a little facelift. It was really great. Today, we are able to do some incredible things. We've had live streaming for educational purposes. We had Goonies Week. We were their corporate headquarters. That was craziness in a big bag, let me tell you. Oh, my goodness. We have Holiday Market, for example. That sees about 2,000 people on a Sunday. Quite remarkable when you can see how much you can do with a blank slate. The Armory was built in 1941, 1942. Uniquely, it was designed by John Wicks and his daughter, Ebba Wicks. She was a remarkable young woman because she was the second woman in the state of Oregon to be a architect.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Licensed here. That's remarkable. As a woman in construction myself, that hit home. Can you imagine how difficult that was? But she has quite renowned for her designs. She's done like the U.S. Bank building, for example, mm-hmm. The library, the original library. So she has that international flair that is near and dear to so many people that live here. The unique thing about the design of the Armory is it has the lumella ceiling, which is that triangular arched ceiling. And the beauty of that, being developed during World War II, was it could be made on the floor and then put up into place. So it's very flexible and very strong. In 2007, when the hurricane came here, the roof was peeled off the Armory, but that ceiling was just fine. It's remarkable, and it's quite spectacular, especially now with our new lighting system. It is visually amazing to see. So we are very proud of the uniqueness of that design and to be a part of a woman in construction from the early 1950s.
Yes, absolutely. Ebba Wicks is definitely a very renowned architect, and that's a huge piece of history, especially for Astoria.
I know. And she was born and raised here, went to Astoria High School. I mean, that's amazing right there.
It's true amazing history. So.
I know. It's amazing, amazing. So the thing about the Armory, originally it was developed for, believe it or not, an entertainment space for the guard and service people. And it was managed by the USO.
Oh.
So I found that interesting. And I have found pictures. And if you get a chance, you can go to the museum and see them. But there was Bob Hope was there. There was President Nixon. There was amazing events and political events and of course the music. We were right between Seattle and of course Portland. Mm-hmm. And so as on their way down south, they would stop here. So it's pretty remarkable. I do know also in 1981, the Armory, there was a group that thought, oh, we're going to make the most amazing convention center ever. It fell flat. And after that time is when the Armory was abandoned for so many years. So it's kind of cool to see this space that we just can't leave alone. It has a blank canvas, a 10,000 plus square foot floor that you, if you can think of it, you can do it there. So it's really remarkable for all kinds of uses.
Yeah, because you guys definitely have a lot of space there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different projects going on. You're even working on, having new railing and a mural. And you just got all these new sound systems, the lights. You know, there's just so much potential that is held in that building.
Uniquely, the Armory is probably the most undefined building in the whole city. It's like a big lump sitting there. But that mural, oh my gosh, it has started. You can see paint on the walls. I just spoke to the artisan today. He is remarkable. His name is Casey McGaney, and he is so talented. And you can see the salmon is up there. We're starting to see the features of all the different pieces and parts for the graphics that will make that 100-plus foot mural the gateway. As you drive in from the 30, you will see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll be able to see it from the river.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable.
Yeah.
So we're super excited to be a part of that. And that is sponsored by Care Oregon. So
Oh, nice.
We're very, very grateful.
That's great. That's wonderful.
It's all the things that make Astoria what it is. It features salmon. It features the Megler Bridge. There is the column. There is a nod to the indigenous Indians that are here. It's quite remarkable and very well thought up. You know, interestingly, about Astoria, I'm sure, you know, with your history of all things here, there's so many murals here.
Mm-hmm,
Once
yeah.
I realized that, I was surprised. I actually had to go on a walk to see some of these I didn't even know existed.
There is a lot of murals, and I think that's like one thing about that's unique about Astoria is we have these different things, and they're all of different aspects. You know, we have so many different ones. Like there's that old Juana Federal Credit Union one that's there. You know,
that's so great.
One's really cool. And then you know, you see different ones just throughout town. So
even between buildings, there's always a little surprise.
Yeah,
it's really amazing to see. I think it would be fun. One of the things I am seeing is a request for tours at the Armory.
Oh, yeah.
So if I have time or people enough, like Encore Group just came, there was about 17 or 18 folks, and we had a wonderful time. I brought Jeff in, and we talked about the design of the Armory and, of course, the historic signs that are there in that gallery. But I don't know if you know, two or three different movies have been made in the Armory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which ones?
You're going to ask me, and I can't tell you for sure, because I don't think they were any big tickets. But I will tell you, there are some spooky, crazy places down there. Being an armory, you know that the construction, it has bunkers and all kinds of niches and strange places. So if you're there at night, the sounds can be really scary.
Yeah.
So down in the basement, there is a official boiler room. And that thing is so big and so scary. It's got to be a feature in a scary movie for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It is amazing. So a lot of those things are still there. There is an area in the concessions where they have a big giant, I think you would call it like a bunker almost, but it was used for fuel for different things like cooking and what have you. So there's all kinds of little places where the history and the origins of the building, you can find it and see it, and you just scratch your head and say, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was there. It's pretty great.
But when we're on that topic, do you have a favorite aspect about the Armory that maybe is like hidden, like a hidden gem that maybe not a lot of people know about, but you know it's there because it's your favorite, because you spend so much time there?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. It's a hard one because there's a lot of cool little spaces there. But I will tell you, there's a lot of offices up on the second tier that are, you can tell they have a lot of history in there, almost like little war rooms.
Oh,
they're just old, and the architecture is full of different kinds of wood, and you can see that they were very big rooms, and you can actually get onto the roof through one of these rooms. It's pretty amazing how this building was made. So I would say some of the offices, the old places, every once in a while, for example, this was interesting. When we were reworking the restrooms, we opened a wall, and in there was a shower room that was used for the soldiers. And honestly, it was only about maybe 16 by 12, and there was probably 5 showers on each wall. It's so different in the way that things were made than they are today. Little things like that are so interesting.
That is really interesting to kind of hear that that's like a thing that they would do in the past.
Kind of like school.
Yeah. But I mean, if it worked, then, you know, sure, we'll take it. And then just out of curiosity, there's so much projects and things going on with Astoria Armory. So how has our local community been a part of, you know, changing this and doing, you know, I know this is a big facelift that the Armory has had. We've already mentioned a couple of names, you know, already, but do you notice, you know, obviously a lot of it's community support, but do you notice any big aspects that you would like to point out in that?
I will tell you that having momentum and having visibility is the lifeblood of any nonprofit. I've had opportunities, for example, the group called 100 Women. We were nominated and actually won a grant for $10,000. And the beauty of this one was it was for community programs. So it allowed us to do a couple things. We have a quiet room called Molly's Room. It was named after Jeff Daly's sister. And that's a room where kids and families that need a quiet moment, because the one thing about skating and those activities, they're very vibrant and a lot of noise. And some kids really need a timeout or a place to have a quiet moment.
Yeah.
And that room is just lovely. It's quiet. You can see the skate floor, but it's all made for kids. And it's a really nice little space. That was one thing. The other thing was it allowed us to open the doors for kids who have projects or groups that they wanted to meet free of charge. There's a one skate group called the Swift Pickles, and they love hockey. So they do roller hockey, and we are able to help them free of charge. And they meet once a month. Little things like that. Another one is we're working with the schools. We have a program that if the kids get together and have a common goal and achieve it, then we'll have them out for a free skate afternoon.
Oh, nice. That's
so
amazing.
It's really fun, and it opens the doors. But it is difficult. There's so much competition for funds. And the Armory is old, so, you know, we have to try our best to keep her moving.
We'll return to our interview with Susan Hobson, the president of the board at the Astoria Armory, in just a moment. But first, I'd like to invite you to this month's Topics in Preservation. Topics in Preservation is a monthly discussion and conversation hosted by the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS. This month, join us as my fellow board members, Vice President Lori Serafin and Eric Wheeler, do a presentation about the LCPS Present, what they've done and the schedule for the new season, and leading a discussion about potential topics for Eric and Lori to research and lecture on. Join us on September 17th at 6 p.m. at the new Lower Columbia Preservation Headquarters, located on 591 12th Street in Astoria, Oregon. Also happening this month is our monthly LCPS Presents, a free monthly lecture series about local history and historic preservation at Pacific Distillery on 55 4th Street in Astoria, Oregon. Happening Tuesday, September 16th, the lecture begins at 7 p.m. Going Nowhere Fast, Stories of Columbia River Lightships, hosted by Ryan Nielsen, an interpretive specialist at Washington State Parks. This event is free and open to the public. Food and beverages are available for purchase. For more information, visit lcpsociety.org. We hope to see you at these amazing events. Now, returning back to our interview with the president of the board of the Astoria Armory, Susan Hobson. So, Susan, as a nonprofit, I know funding, a lot of it probably comes from grants. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Is that most of the revenue that comes in through the Armory?
Skate night pays for itself. That, of course, we charge a very nominal fee, $4 to skate and $4 to rent. That's the cheapest skate in town, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
But that pays for itself, and it pays for the staff that works that. But we do have event space rental, and that is a great source of revenue. We're very reasonable, but we do have this wonderful indoor space, and that keeps us going as well.
And that indoor space is used for many different things. Like,
that is
you can
correct.
Have like wedding receptions there, and even like community events, you know, private parties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lots of room to have that.
It's remarkable how people put these things together. And for example, the Goonies prom.
Yes.
That was crazy amazing to see. All of a sudden, in a heartbeat, that gym was transformed into a 1980s high school gym with sparkles and vibrancy, and everybody was dressed in the 80s. It was amazing. So if you can think of it, it can be done there. It's a blank space.
It is. It's a blank canvas, and if you have the vision, you make it happen. That's amazing. And, you know, I did want to touch base about local organizations or volunteers that have played a key role in this. You mentioned you have a board of the Armory. Is that all volunteers?
It is.
How big is your board?
We have 6 members currently. We lost one to moving, but we are a small board, but it works in our favor because everyone is local. Everybody understands Astoria and what it means. We get to work closely with the city. Our mayor is a great benefactor. He was a part of the original team that got the Armory back to where it is today. So we have the ability to, for example, the homeless. When we had our cold spell, the Armory was the backup warming center.
Oh, nice.
Which was amazing because we don't realize how cold it gets. One of the purposes we serve is we work closely with emergency services. The fire department has storage there. We're a place, should there be an emergency, where people could go. I think we could get 400, 500, 600, 700 beds in there if we had to. So there's a lot of things on that end that we can do. We work closely together with all the organizations. So it's important in that aspect for sure.
That's a great thing that can be offered to our community, is a community pillar of support there. How does this contribute to our local culture and even tourism? Because I'm sure the Goonies event that you talked about drew in a lot of people.
That is a great question. I think the history of the Armory plays such a huge role in that because it's been here for 80 years and there's so much memory and so many events attached to it that people come in because they're so curious. I have to say, I meet folks all the time who said, when I was a kid, or I remember when this happened. So when you have a spot as key as that, where people can come together and do amazing activities or events, it's remarkable. And that's the, I think if I had a take home about being a part of the Armory, the thing that gives me the passion to get up and donate the 40 or 50 hours it takes sometimes a week, the thing that's so amazing about it is the passion to keep it moving because of the memories and because of the potential. You know, it's rare to have a space that you can do anything with. And to have the opportunity for a place where folks can gather, have the sense of community, and be safe, it's amazing. And it's an honor to be a part of it.
Yes, that's so wonderfully said. And it really is, you know, such a beautiful community space. You know, when I personally went in there the last couple of times, every time I went in, it was just so inviting and welcoming. There's always people there, and everybody's just so friendly. Everybody was friendly that I talked to, even That's just good. Like stopping in. It's just like, this is great. And everybody looked like they were having fun. Everybody was enjoying it.
The upstairs mezzanine addition that Jeff Daly had given us with his historic signs, that is just the icing on the cake. So much history is attached to that. And when you go up there and you can see the little informational bits about how a sign got there, what its history was, it makes it a lovely, fun space. We have that as our adult space. So adults can kind of get away from the skate rink. You can have a private party up there. You are wrapped in a sense of history and you realize how much really hasn't changed about our incredible community.
It was really nice to attend that event with Jeff, where we had kind of that unveiling of the sign museum, and to hear the different stories about people talking about, well, I remember eating there. That was the best place for burgers. So we heard so many different, you know, memories in that sense. And also, it's just so nice to be able to see the little tidbits of history, because it's like, I didn't know that, you know, it's just, it really was connecting.
That gallery is incredibly well done. And it is such a joy to see that. That it's saved.
Yes.
Because so many of those signs were headed to the dump. And I love that. So many people have given up on the Armory, but she's still here.
Yes.
That kind of all fits hand in hand. And that's a part of the passion of keeping the armory going. With, you mentioned our railings coming in up on the mezzanine space. When it was designed in 1942, I think people were smaller and not quite as athletic, because I'll tell you what, those bleachers come up to your knees and you could take a header off that, no problem. So we have worked together with some design friends, and we are having some railings put up, which will open the doors to allow us to do some more sporting events and have more people in there on the bleachers watching skate night or whatever in a safer environment.
Yeah.
So that's an exciting improvement that's happening.
And are there any other initiatives that the Armory is taking? Any new things coming up that you'd like to share?
We have a huge hurdle coming up, actually. A big one. At the dome ends on the top of the armory where the arches are, those old windows are in terrible shape.
Oh, yes.
Some have water intrusion. But you know the impact of being a historical building. There are some rules we have to follow. And if we take something out, it needs to be the same going back in to keep the history what it needs to be. But unfortunately, that cost is so breathtakingly unaffordable that it is remarkable. It's a huge chunk of money. So that's going to be our concentration. We're going to try to come up with some fundraisers and some ways to get some people in there to help us out. But it looks like it's going to cost us well over $200,000 to have those windows done. That's a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
And with that said, I think, you know, with creative intent and the designs that people come up with, we'll get it. But it's going to not be without some real hard work. But that's probably the biggest thing happening. That's going to be the big change.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely going to be a labor of love. You know?
No kidding. No
it's going to have to take a lot to come together to do it. But that's amazing that you guys are making that a priority, because I think that's important.
Well, this year we've done some things. We got the windows done before the mural on that side of the building there. And that was remarkable, because those windows were literally falling out. You think about the impact of that and the weather we have here. We're very proud we were able to accomplish that.
Yeah, because it is difficult when we have those barriers up. It rains a lot.
Yes, it
so,
does.
So, like you said, water deterioration happens, and it's difficult to kind of deal with the aftermath of it. But once you do, then you realize, okay, we're going to keep these windows intact.
Yep.
What does it mean, this entire journey that the Astoria Armory has gone through, to you in the sense of preserving and restoring it for future generations?
During my journey, I started to unravel the history of everything. And you realize that even though we're so busy and we have all this information and computers and all the stuff, the history is really the building block of where we are today. It's what gives us character. It's what makes Astoria remarkable and charming, to build on that and to keep it and enjoy it and see it have a benefit from today's electronics and all the lights and all the things that make it fun. It's been a remarkable journey for me. I've learned so much and appreciate how much we've changed, but not really. We're still Astorians that love our community.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Susan. I really appreciate you coming on the show. You know, just to kind of wrap things up, it was just amazing to hear not just the stories, but the heart behind the armory. Everything that you guys' efforts are doing with board, volunteers, staff, it really is making a difference, and it shows with the community. I hear so many good things about the Astoria Armory. So.
Thank you so much for your support, and I just had a great time. Appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to this month's episode of The Preservationist. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month at 9:30 a.m. on KMUN. I'd like to give a special thanks to the team here at KMUN, the staff, members, and volunteers of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and a special thanks to Camila Swordlaw for producing the theme song of The Preservationist. The Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, written and produced for KMUN by Astronomus Ray. I'm Astronomus Ray, and until next time, remember, anyone can be a preservationist. Thank you for tuning in.